Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Our text this evening is Romans 8, verse 26. We'll read together verses 26 and 27, but focusing our attention on Romans 8, verse 26. Our theme is praying with the Spirit's help. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Whenever a Christian takes up for consideration this matter of both the privileges and priority of prayer, we often find our hearts made heavy. We think of all that is required of us in the exercise and duty of prayer, and it can be rather overwhelming. We've been considering for many, many, many weeks now various aspects of prayer, and one casts our eye just back a short pace, and we see themes like pleading in prayer and the burden of intercessory prayer, carrying the hearts and needs of others before the throne of grace and our own minds and shoulders, if you will. We've looked at a whole variety of things, like praying always, the responsibility and privilege of seeking the Lord throughout the day, and we could go on and on. Having talked a lot about prayer, we're left really with this kind of looming question. Who in the world can possibly do these things? Who in the world can possibly take up all that we're hearing and implement it as we ought into the warp and woof of our lives? And the answer is no one on their own. No one on their own is capable of taking up all these things that we've been considering now over the last few months. But we're reminded in this text that we are not on our own, that the Christian has a helper far closer to us than the nearest and dearest of our loved ones. A helper not next to us, but within us. And the Bible teaches us that the Christian has two intercessors. We have two intercessors. We have one without the Lord Jesus Christ and one within God the Holy Spirit. So we have one that is here and one that is in heaven. Two persons of the Godhead working to minister to the Lord's people as intercessors in diverse capacities. And so we're considering this evening this theme, the work of the Holy Spirit as intercessor within the heart and soul of God's people, the help of the Holy Spirit. This is not the only place where we see this sort of thing referred to. In our study of Jude, we saw passing reference in verse 20, speaking about building up ourselves on our most holy faith. It includes the words praying in the Holy Ghost, or the series of sermons with which I commenced my ministry here in Greenville way back in 2006 from the book of Ephesians. You have another example in Ephesians 6, it's the end of that section on the armor, in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And we could actually, expanding beyond this limited language, we could actually read many other passages which point to the same truth. But we focus our attention this evening on Romans 8, verse 26, and what it has to say about praying with the Spirit's help. Notice, first of all, the reference to our infirmities. So first of all, our infirmities. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So what do we see here? We have underlined for us the fact that we need desperately the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have infirmities. We are in need of help, of assistance, of support. And the idea here of helping our infirmities is the idea of carrying a heavy weight. In fact, the word helpeth, 17 letters in the Greek original, and it has this idea of assistance or of carrying, as it were, the heavy end of some weighty object. Ultimately, the Christian is so persuaded that we need the help of the Holy Spirit because of our infirmities that we must conclude that spiritless prayer or prayer without the Spirit would be nothing more than mere noise, like the grunting of a beast or something. We are praying to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. We would be spiritually impotent without the ministry of God's Spirit. After all, the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal to us the Father, the one to whom we direct the bulk of our petitions. He is the object of prayer. And the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal to us the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the medium of prayer, the one through whom we pray and in whose name we pray. And so the Spirit shows us, opens up, as it were, our gaze to Christ as our mediator. But it is especially because of our infirmities. And we could list a very, very long catalog of the kinds of infirmities that we face as Christians in prayer, which demand help from God. You think of wandering imaginations. This is a common plague, an infirmity, something that afflicts the child of God. Inordinate affections, having our hearts raised for the wrong things and to wrong degrees. You think of the infirmity of a dull or sluggish spirit. You think of weakness of faith. We're to be praying with faith, and yet we often find weakness of faith. We're asking for things which we are hard-pressed to trust the Lord for. You think of how cold we are in our feelings toward the Lord in prayer. How slow we are to ask things of Him, which He has urged us to bring before His throne of grace. You think of how weary we become in waiting upon the Lord in prayer. All of the various outward afflictions that burden us down and slow us in the work of prayer. Our fretting, our fainting, our ignorance, our pride, our unbelief. We could go on and on and on and on. There are countless numbers of infirmities that stand between us and real, earnest exercise in prayer. All of these things, of course, are there because of indwelling sin. Because of indwelling sin, we have little strength in and of ourselves. Sin saps us of strength. It sucks the life out of us. And so the presence of indwelling sin weakens us, infirms us in our exercise of prayer. You think of how often we struggle to discern what are the real needs. We look at perhaps our friends, our family, our congregation, the work of the kingdom, our own souls, and we are hard-pressed to know, to discern, where do the real needs lie? What is it that must really be, that we really must wrestle with before the Lord? We need discernment to be able to see this is what is most needed in this person's life or in our own life. You think of how much we need knowledge. We'll come more to this in a minute. And the ability to apply that knowledge of God's Word to our souls. The Spirit has to aid us. We have these infirmities of not being able to connect the dots, not being able to apply the Word to our own souls in prayer. And so, left to ourselves, it would be a disaster, this work of prayer. We would end up praying for sinful desires. We would end up neglecting all of the real needs and many other problems that would afflict us. And so, really, to begin with, we see even under this first point, this is itself a help. To come face to face with the fact that we have infirmities, that we need help in prayer. That itself is a great help to us. In fact, a great reassurance to most of us. Because we can taste it. We can smell it. We feel it. We know. We're persuaded that we need a great deal of help in prayer. And so the Lord shows us our needs. He says, look at you. You're broken. You have inability. You need to even be taught what to ask for. You need to be supplied with the kinds of arguments that are needed to bring by way of petition and supplication before the Lord. And so the Lord comes and he helps us by showing us our helplessness. He helps us by showing us our sins and misery and our infirmities. And simultaneously showing us himself so that we have, as often is the case, both the sight of God and the sight of self being brought together, which accentuates and bolsters our love for the Lord and our confidence and trust in the Lord. And so praying with the Spirit's help begins by recognizing we have a truckload of infirmities. We desperately need help in this business of prayer. All the stuff we've been hearing about ought to persuade us how much we need help. And so first of all, we have our infirmities. Secondly, we have our intercessor. So our infirmities are matched by our intercessor. And this is where we'll spend the bulk of our time. Every single Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. To be a Christian is to have the Holy Spirit. To have the Holy Spirit is to be a Christian. There's no such thing as a Christian without the Spirit. Go back to verse 9 in this same chapter, the second half of the verse. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So for all of those out there in the Assemblies of God and other related churches which believe that you can be a Christian and not have the Holy Spirit, but when you get the Spirit, you'll speak in tongues and such like, they need to go back to this text, among others, and see that those who do not have the Spirit are none of his. So the point is, all Christians are indwelt by the Spirit. And so we all have the capability then of Spirit-assisted prayer. We all have the gift of prayer. And with that, we then progress seeking to grow in the exercise of that gift. Now, there's a sense in which you can have a gift. We're using language a little differently here. You can have a gift of prayer without grace. In other words, you can have fluidity of speech, the ability to retain things in your mind. You can have, you know, many of these other external ornaments which assist and help, even perhaps fuel a measure of eloquence and so on, without grace. But for the Christian, we have a Spirit-given gift above the natural, coupled with grace, to exercise that in a way that is pleasing before the Lord. So as we consider this point of our intercessor, notice how Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, breaks it down into two sections. When he's thinking about our intercessor, he speaks about the work of our intercessor in the matter of prayer, and then also in the manner of prayer. Both of these things are covered. Both the matter of prayer, that is the content of prayer, as well as the manner of prayer. Look back at the text. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. One, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So we don't know what we should pray for. There he's addressing the matter of prayer, the content of prayer. So the work of our intercessor, the Holy Spirit, who's assisting us, helping us in our infirmities to pray, first of all is helping us with the content of prayer. We are ignorant about what to pray for, ignorant about the words to employ, ignorant about the petitions to present. God comes to us, first of all, through his word, which is given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to instruct and inform us. But then the Spirit accompanies that word, enabling us to take what we find, what we're mining in the word, and to be able to apply it to the things that we need to pray for. So think of it this way. It's like you have to first of all go into the gold mine and mine the gold. You have to pull the gold out of the mountain. And then the gold has to be put into a position where it can be fashioned and shaped into jewelry and into other uses. And so we need to mine the Word of God given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but then we need the help of the Holy Spirit to then shape, as it were, all that we're gleaning from the Bible into the beautiful ornaments that we then present in prayer. And so it's as if the Holy Spirit comes and helps to produce the petitions within our hearts. We are the ones offering the petitions, but it is the Holy Spirit who is assisting and aiding and helping us. That happens at times when the Spirit takes and brings to mind things that we have gleaned from the Word with the appropriate application of it to prayer. So we're engaged in prayer, and seemingly out of the middle of nowhere, you know, the Holy Spirit's bringing to mind some portion of Scripture and its relevance to a particular need. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in prayer, helping to shape and carry us as we offer these petitions to the Lord. And His ministry is so close to us, He's in us, indwelling us, that it's as if, the text says, it's as if He is praying in us. You know, our groans are equated with His, as it were. And it's not actually blending these things in some sort of mystical way, but it's accentuating the closeness of the ministry of the Spirit within our hearts. And so we've all experienced as Christians times when we have a great deal of liberty in prayer. There's times when you go to pray and it's a slog. It is like trying to swim through wet concrete. Right there, it's a labor and it's difficult and it's necessary and it's fruitful. But then there are times when the Lord, as it were, puts wind in our sails, and there's a fluidity and there's an unction and there's an earnestness in prayer. And there's an ability and there's a wrestling with the Lord and a sense of boldness in the throne of grace and all this other. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit aiding us, helping us in prayer, which He gives according to His good pleasure and His sovereign will, not on every occasion to the same degree, but according to His own wisdom. There are times when we, of course, grieve the Holy Spirit. There are times when our own actions are culpable for this. And there are times when God has His own sovereign purposes for why He either gives or withholds measures of liberty in prayer, at least in that way. The Spirit is the one who enables us to pray with delight in God. God is the object of prayer. We're not talking to ourselves. We're not talking to those who are around us. We are having business with God Himself. And the Spirit is the one who enables us to delight in God as the object of prayer. The Spirit is the one who provides reverence in prayer, to come with genuine reverence and godly fear before Him. The Spirit is the one that gives us confidence so that we're praying with great confidence in what we're asking according to God's will and His ability to grant it to us. The Spirit is the one who delivers us from light vanity in prayer and triviality, gives us rather boldness and zeal. The Spirit gives us submission in prayer. We acquiesce, we yield, we submit to the Lord. He gives us hope in the things that we pray for, and self-denial and perseverance, and on, many of the things that we've spoken of in recent weeks and months. There is no boldness, for example, without the Spirit's help. We do not have what is adequate to come boldly before the throne of grace. It's the Spirit who enables us to do that, giving us an assurance of God's love, establishing the stamp of His sonship in us, opening, as it were, the door, giving us a sense of welcome access to the throne of grace. The Spirit is the one who enables us to depend upon God's promises, So in the content, the matter of prayer, what we ought to pray for, the Spirit's helping us to take these promises and to believe them and to shape our petitions by them. The promises are foundational to all prayer. Otherwise, our prayers would be barren. And so the Spirit must assist us and help us. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And so, in addition to the Lord loading up our treasure chest with, you know, sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon, instructing us in the Word of God about the nature of prayer and the duty of prayer and various facets of prayer, the Lord says, I will do even more. I will give my Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, to indwell you, and from within side the Christian to intercede and to assist in all of your infirmities and to carry you and all of these weights and burdens in the work of prayer. And so there's the matter of prayer. But then secondly, there's the, under this point of our intercessor, there is the manner of prayer. Look again at the text. For we, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. One, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Two, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so here the Spirit is helping us to pray aright, the right manner. It's not just the matter, but the manner, the right shape, if you will, for presenting our prayers. So here the Lord is helping us not just with what to say, but how to say it, how to pray. So we often find an unfit spirit. We are not in a good spirit to pray. You know, there may be times when a family member says to us, you know, I'm having this trouble, someone within our household, please pray for me. And we may have to say, I will pray for you as soon as I get something dealt with in my own heart. Right? We're not maybe in a fit spirit or frame of heart or mind. We've been entangled by worldly cares or, you know, sins which have ensnared us that we need to repent of and confess before the Lord and get our heart dealt with. This is the Spirit who comes along and helps us to be in a fit frame of heart. We can at times be lifeless, often formal and cold. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that comes in that lifeless, formal, cold state and gives us fervency. The Holy Spirit gives us fervency to pray. Our hearts are wandering all over, bouncing, you know, all over the place, like a ball off of walls on one side and the other. And the Spirit comes and gives us a vein in which to pray, concentration and a singleness of heart and mind and setting our minds on things above where Christ is. The Spirit comes and corrects our disproportion in prayer. If we are left to just make a muck of things, we would be very self-centered in our prayers. That's where we would begin and stay and end. We would not be concerned chiefly with the honor of God. We would not be concerned chiefly with adoring and worshiping Him or in the advance of His kingdom, which should trump any of our own personal concerns. We would not be concerned with, secondarily, the needs of our brethren in intercessory prayer. We would be self-absorbed and self-centered. There'd be a disproportion. The Spirit comes along and helps aid us in this, giving us a God consciousness, helping us from fainting fits, where we grow weary and are inclined to cast in the towel, bolstering and strengthening us. The Spirit comes and gives us godly affections, pouring those affections into our heart, taking what is a duty, biblically, and transforming it into a delight on many occasions, raising our hearts and giving us a heart for prayer, and not just a determination, animating our souls, stirring our desires, raising, as I said, our mind to heaven from earth. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What are these groanings? What is this about? And I wish we had time. We'll eventually, if God spares us, preach through Romans, and especially 6, 7, and 8 are a jewel. There's actually connection here in the broader context. He's already spoken about groanings. He's spoken about the inanimate created order groaning. He's saying the entire cosmos is groaning, waiting for the culmination of redemption. The new heavens and the new earth, the revelation of the sons of God. I mean, it's in that context that we're told, as we heard last fall, that the present sufferings are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Right? There's this trajectory, and we're heading to the culmination and consummation of all time and the glory that God has prepared for us. But in the meantime, there's groaning that takes place. We're left in this pilgrimage with sin and a devil who's against us, and much inward groanings. It's speaking about our groans in a sinful world. And there are times when our heart is so vexed, this is describing real world Christian experience, that we could not so much as put syllables together or mutter anything. But whether audible or inaudible, our heart groans before the Lord with burdens. And it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit interceding within us that, accompanying those groans, makes our voice understood in heaven, makes our heart needs understood. Not only makes them intelligible or understood, but makes them music to God's ear. You say, now groanings being music to anyone? Groanings music to God's ear? Well, think of it this way. Think of it in terms of a little child, two or three, and they're perplexed about something, and they cry out, "Daddy, Daddy, help!" Right? Is that something that sort of groan, if you will? Is that vexation? It's often music to Daddy's ears. Loves to hear. Now, that's not always the case. We're sinful. But there are occasions in which it's precious to us when we delight to be hearing the cry of our child who desire us and want us to come and to help them. Well, if we know even a little bit of that, we can multiply it by infinity. When the children of God come and groan before His throne of grace, it is indeed music to His ears. And we need not say to ourselves, well, you know, this is entirely unacceptable. When we are incapable of anything more than groaning, and we go before the Lord, and without all of the finesse of human eloquence and language, pour our hearts out before the Lord, He is pleased to receive it. After all, God is not dependent upon the English language. God is not dependent upon language, period. He knows what is even inexpressible to us. And so here is the Lord dealing with us graciously. We feel our backwardness, sometimes our lukewarmness, our self-confidence. And the Lord is pleased to give us the ministry of the Holy Spirit to help us in those circumstances, to remove ungodly attitudes, wandering thoughts, to make us serious about sin. Rather than thinking of sin as a trifle, we come with genuine contrition, sorrow for sin, pain, compunction over sin, repenting before the Lord, feeling the sobriety of it. The Lord comes seeing our neediness and gives us the ministry of the Holy Spirit to pierce, to persevere, to be pleading in prayer, as we heard, without giving up too quickly, without chucking in the towel after just a short course. We're able to continue to pray on for weeks and months and years, sticking to the petitions that are in accord with God's will, because the Spirit helps us, aids us, despite all of our infirmities, to pray according to God's will. So here is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Lord has good news for us, that in thinking about all of the, in some ways, overwhelming numbers of aspects of prayer and the burden that it brings with it, the Lord says, be not burdened, Christian. I have good news for you. You have a helper. And not just a helper, a divine helper. A helper with infinite power, omnipotence. A helper who is not wearied. A helper who is infinitely wise, infinitely patient and gracious. A helper who is abiding. We have the ministry of the Holy Spirit before we pray. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the midst, during our praying. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit after we pray. Here is the Spirit helping us from beginning to end, before and after, and all the way through. We are never, ever, ever, ever left alone to pray. We may go into our closet in secret where our Father sees us. But wherever and whenever the true Christian applies themselves to prayer, they are in the best of company. Because they always have three with them. The Father, who sees in secret and rewards openly. The Son, who intercedes from heaven as a mediator, taking all of those prayers with all of their brokenness and inadequacies and making them a sweet savor before the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, who intercedes from within the soul of the Christian, even in our groaning, enabling us to offer our petitions acceptably before the Lord. And so may God strengthen us with joy and encouragement and renewed appreciation for the Spirit's help in prayer. Let's stand together. Our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that you have sent forth your Spirit, who proceeds from you, whom you have given, and the Lord Jesus has given as a gift to your people, not only a down payment or earnest of our complete redemption, but one who dwells in us and who works powerfully and irresistibly all life long within our souls. We are thankful that in addition to the conviction of sin, in addition to sanctification, in addition to showing us the glory of you, the Father and the Son, in addition to so many other facets, the Spirit also ministers to us in this matter, in the work of prayer. Thank you, O God, for giving us help, for giving us a divine helper in the midst of our multitude of infirmities. Encourage us, O Lord, as we go to prayer, and help us that we might be carried forward by your grace. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.